We are waiting for that decision, and as you pointed out, as much as many wanted to be critical of the NHL for not bringing out more information, for not bringing out more dates and locations, it seems like patience is a virtue, and all you have to do is look at the United States to see why that is so important. Now, a lot of people will say, well, why don't you just go to two different locations in Canada? That is still a possibility. I don't think it's the odds aren't necessarily high, but I don't expect to expect that to happen. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the one and only Craig Button. How are you, Craig? I miss you. I hope you're doing well and your family's doing well.
We are doing well, Mark, and I miss everybody. You know, we've had the opportunity to chat and have a few interactions on TV, but you know, that day-to-day seeing everybody,
I think we
all appreciate it and we all miss it, and we can't wait till we get that opportunity again.
You know what, one of the small things that I miss seeing you in person is when your eyes go down to my tie and you go, it's a nice tie, or that's a nice knot, and I know I got it today.
Well, the other thing you miss, Mark, is Craig knows absolutely everybody's name in that building.
Well, that
and
is
we
true.
We work in a huge, huge building. If I want to know someone's name, I just follow Craig around. And Craig knows every cameraman, every producer, every director, every AP, every position. It doesn't matter, top to bottom, he knows their name. And it's a great place to learn about interpersonal skills following him around, because he is the best at that.
Oh, thank you, David. Well, I spend a lot of time in the building, and I know you, Dave, when you do the SC at night, you get into the newsroom, and so you're spending lots of time with the people in a lot of different areas, so it really does afford you that opportunity to not only spend that time, but to get to know people, and, you know, it's really you know, Dave, you've been part of some terrific teams, and Mark, you have been too, and I have been also. The team at TSN is as good a team and as proud to be a part of that team as I am of any team I've ever been part of.
Well, Craig, on TH2N, the late night show, when I first started doing that show, you know, I was there with Glenn Sheeler and Kyle Lawson. There were three or four of us there. And then the show would be over at 2 in the morning, and I'd walk outside, and there'd be 25 people out in the parking lot. And I'm like, where are these people?
Yeah.
Who are they? Where did they come from? I didn't even know these people were here.
Yeah, well, it was like, you know, we think we just turned on our TV and the camera came on.
Everything was good.
You know, who did all this, right? Yeah.
Well, and it's a network full of superstars kind of like Jerome McGinley, who we can now call a Hall of Famer. I know that doesn't come to a shock to you, Craig, but this is a player that you've had a strong relationship with, and you have so many great stories, and he has given you a lot of credit for not just the player that he became, but the man that he became and becoming a leader. Yesterday must have been a really proud moment for you to see him officially go into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think that, like, you know, when you're around players and you're around anybody that really aspires to do things that are meaningful and special, and they have these goals, and they really, you know, are ready to dig in and pursue them with not only enthusiasm, but pursue them vigorously. And, you know, whatever walk of life you're in, you know, I think we always become impressed by that, whether it be, you know, somebody trying to pursue a doctorate, somebody trying to get to the pinnacle of their sport. But that's what Jerome exemplified. And, you know, it becomes impressive for me because watching Jerome from the time he was 16, I can look at these different, what I would call, he was climbing a mountain, and he was climbing a really, really significant mountain. And there's different peaks. So he got to one peak, but he wasn't satisfied of just staying at that peak. He had his sights on continuing climbing. And, you know, you can look at it from a 16-year-old to 18-year-old when he became a first-round pick, to, you know, being traded and then becoming the best player at the World Junior, to coming into the NHL, but then stepping through in 01, 02, not only to the Olympics with Team Canada, but scoring 50 goals for the first time in his career, to leading his team to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in 04. It's like that mountaintop for Jerome. He always had his sights set on the very top of that mountain, and he pursued it. And he launched himself at different peaks to get to that next level. And, you know, that's why he got the call yesterday as a Hall of Famer. But like anything else, you know, it takes time, and you have to stay with it. And you have a lot of people he said it, you thank lots of people. And if in some very small way, you know, that I helped them, you know, believe in himself, well, then I'm very happy to be part of that.
Craig, the attributes of a Hall of Famer are so many, and, you know, so many of the young kids, you're doing the interviews, and everyone will talk or profess about how hard they work or how much they want it. But when you actually see it firsthand, and it's a rare combination of a player that can lead and a player that can literally help you in every single way win a hockey game, and that's what he brought to the table. That versatility for me in the player's game was just outstanding.
Well, you think, Dave, about some of the great competitors that you played with and against. And when a player, and, you know, I'm going to go right to Mark Messier, and you were in the Stanley Cup final against the Edmonton Oilers a few times. And when you're playing, and Dave, you were a fierce competitor and a very, very strong player. And when you get up against a player like Messier and you get up against a player like Jerome Iginla that can throw so much at you, right? It really, really puts you in a position where you get pushed right up to the maximum point of like, okay, what do I do next? How do I handle this? Because they are so versatile. They are so adept at being able to get their way into a game, and whether it be with the skill, whether it be with the power, whether it be with, you know, some sleight of hand, if you know what I mean, in terms of an elbow or something. I mean, that's what makes those players not only special, but it makes them unique. Because Dave, as you well know, there aren't that many players that can play it any way you want.
Mm-hmm. Craig Button joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Unfortunately, when a new class is announced, a lot of the chatter is about who wasn't included in the class, and there's a lot of people out there saying, how is Alex McGillney not named to this class, and how is he not going into the Hall of Fame? What would you say to those people who are a little upset that McGillney wasn't named yesterday?
I mean, there's always going to be, though, you know, that's what makes it, I think, fun, and I think the debate is allowed to rage on. You know, when I consider what a Hall of Famer is, and, you know, the clear-cut ones are clear-cut. Let's get on. Haley Wickenheiser, anybody opposed? No, okay, that took 30 seconds. She's in, mm-hmm. Right? Jerome Iginla, Mary Lemieux, like, we know who they are. But you know what? There's cases that seem to be really strong for a player, and there's cases where in the same player's instance where you could say, okay, does he really measure up? And that's a debate that goes on. But sometimes you got to keep in mind that as the Hall of Fame committee discusses these players, you know, they discussed McGillney this year. They discussed McGillney last year. They discussed McGillney the year before, just like they discussed Alfredson, and they'll continue to discuss players that have been passed over. You don't think they woke up a couple days ago and just started discussing Doug Wilson? This has been going on for a long time. And what players are automatics and trying to factor it all in? And sometimes, you know, the case for the player sometimes doesn't become fully clear until you have a little bit of what I would call a little bit of runway under your argument. So, you know, McGillney, do I think he's a Hall of Famer? Yeah, I do. Do I think Alfredson's a Hall of Famer? Yeah, I do. But I also felt the same way about Sergei Zubov. I felt the same way about Doug Wilson. Might take a little bit of time before the official call comes, but let me ask you guys this. You know, the call came yesterday for Doug Wilson, and it came for Kevin Lowe. So all those years they weren't a Hall of Famer doesn't mean they weren't a Hall of Famer. They're Hall of Famers. And they were Hall of Famers before they got the official call. The beauty of the official call is the plaque goes up and they're recognized as such. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you become any less of a Hall of Famer because all those years you weren't elected. Keep in mind, Brendan Shanahan, he was passed over in his first year of eligibility. So, you know, it happens. We all have these different opinions. And I will finish with this. I think the credibility of the Hockey Hall of Fame committee is outstanding. I think it's excellent. I told this to Pat Quinn many years ago. Does that mean I agree with every one of their decisions? No. Would they agree with every one of mine? No. But I respect the process, and I respect the way they go about the process of trying to understand, okay, how do we discuss this? How do we come to agreement at the end and go from there? I have the highest respect for the Hall of Fame committee. And what I don't like is when I hear people, oh, the Hall of Fame committee doesn't know. Yeah, I don't think you know when you make that statement.
Craig, that feeds into my next question perfectly. And for those that don't know, there are 18 members of the committee. 14 have to vote for a player to go in the Hall of Fame. Now, you and I have the luxury of knowing every one of the 18 names. We know the people to varying degrees, and we know the responsibility they take and how much they put into this thought process. Would you change anything? Would you increase that number? You know, as the sport has grown, would you like to see more people involved? Are you fine with the number being at 18, you know, as an arbitrary 14 to get in? And as I've told people, I think the most important part about the committee is the revolving nature of it and the fact that you have different voices and different opinions on that committee.
Well, let me just pick up from your last comment, and that's where I talk about, you know, the players that get discussed have been discussed over a long period of time and amongst different voices, right, Dave? So I think that, you know, that's where we see, okay, somebody, you know, the group now has come to a conclusion that that person, it's their time to get into the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to go back to what my friend Doug Armstrong always said. He said, there's nothing wrong with having a criticism of something. He said, but you better come with a potential solution as well. And so what I'd like to say is, I don't know if I have a solution for, should it be more than 18? I'm not, like, you know, 14 out of 18 is a pretty high bar. I'm not ready to lower that bar. So I'm pretty good with where it's at. And the 18 people, you know, could you add some more people? Does that bog it down? I think that that's something that could be considered. What I would like to see on the Hall of Fame committee is more of a representation where the understanding of the women's game has been over the years. And, you know, Kim St. Pierre became the eighth female player to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Now, you know, they're only allowed two female members per year, but I think maybe they can increase that number to allow more women to get in. But the understanding of the women's game and who's made a significant impact in that game, and I'm not just talking about players, but also builders, mm-hmm. I think that that could really benefit the Hockey Hall of Fame in terms of, you know, having representation that reflects the contributions on and off the ice of women that have been instrumental in the game.
Yeah, just in so many of the players and also coaches and executives who have built that game, and you see where it's gone and now where it is in 2020 and how other countries outside of Canada, the U.S. are having success, which is great for that game. It'll be great if we can watch some hockey in later this summer. So much has to happen. There are many hurdles and obstacles facing NHL teams. We are just over 2 weeks away from when they hope to start training camp, although that date could move by a day or two. If you're a GM of a team, Craig, what's the communication like with players, and are you trying to get them to your respective cities sooner rather than later to sort of handle the positive cases that are inevitable for each team?
I think you start to deal first from an ideal scenario. I don't think there's a GM in the NHL that wouldn't like to see all their players together in the same city, working together, training together, you know, working on the ice with their coaches and whatnot. Every GM would like that under an ideal situation. But, you know, we're not dealing in an ideal scenario. And, you know, when we consider that we're getting new information every day about the virus and about the spread of the virus or where it's being contained really well and the actions that go alongside of it, I think that the uncertainty is where You know, it lends itself to understanding how are the players thinking? How are they feeling? You know, Carey Price came out today. He talked extensively about, you know, he goes into it, his family's not going to come. He knows he'll be away, but he doesn't want to do that. We've heard from different players at different times what their feelings are. I think as a GM, you know, as you get closer to training camp and potentially and hopefully, you know, the NHL games beginning again, it's understanding how the players are feeling and the impact that it could have on their families and really that dialogue that's continuous. And I think phase three is going to require more detail, and obviously phase four is going to require more detail. But understanding, and again, I go back to the NHL and the NHLPA collaborating on the return to play protocol, but the conversations have to continue, because if you're in Arizona, okay, and you're seeing the outbreaks that are happening in Arizona, you're in Florida and you're seeing the outbreaks that are happening in Florida, that's going to lend itself to different types of conversations than if you're in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. Because one has it very much under control, and two others are seeing a massive spread, even Texas, you know, what we're seeing happening. So it's important to communicate. It's important to really, in my view, to understand how the players are feeling, what their optimism is, what their fears are, what their concerns are, and make sure that all that information can be taken together to try to move forward in a positive manner that minimizes the risk to the greatest extent possible. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm.
Craig, from a management standpoint, where are you on the disclosure of names in golf? They've made it pretty clear at who's out, and the players have stood up and said, I'm out because I tested positive or my caddy did. And I think you're taking, as a manager right now, you're probably taking legal advice. Since it's a medical, you know, an individual medical thing, you can't release that information. Is this different?
Well, no, I don't think it is, David, because where the players are at now, number one, the point you make is that, to me, is the primary one. And the fact is that it's legal. The privacy aspect of it is first and foremost. So you can't violate that. I mean, even Dave, you know that as a player and in management, you know, a player has to consent to having his medical records, you know, released when he gets traded to the other team. The team can't just say, hey, we've traded you, here's your medical records. You have to go through a consent form, mm-hmm. and the player has to agree to those medical records being exchanged. Right now, you know, with the pandemic and the virus, it's a private matter. It's not a matter of hockey. So no way, unless the player wants to come out and say, hey, you know what, I tested positive and, you know, just want everybody to know. You know, there is no other way. It needs to remain private, and mm-hmm. that's the way it simply has to be. No other way.
Craig Button joining us on Overdrive. Tomorrow is the draft lottery. We are still a few months away from the draft happening, although they have not actually named the date. We've heard from a few scouts and GMs who are frustrated that they haven't been able to see prospects play in their respective playoffs. They did not get to meet them at the combine, whether it's the interviews or see them in the physical tests. Considering you did that job for so many years, can you sympathize with where they're at and how they're approaching this draft?
Here's what I say, you know, when you're handed lemons, make lemonade. Mm-hmm. Okay? No team in the league has an advantage over another team. No team. No team was able to go watch players in the playoffs that another team couldn't do. Everybody is faced with the exact same constraints. So that's number one. So number two, you know what? You can understand why teams wish they had this, but they don't. So now what you can do is you can either deal with the scenario and try to understand, okay, how do we make the best of this situation so that when we do get to the draft, that we have the confidence, as much confidence as possible, that the players we're drafting are ones that we feel can, you know, progress and ultimately contribute to our team. That's where you got to get to. All the other stuff doesn't matter to me. And to me, I think it also gives you an opportunity. It gives you an opportunity to consider how you've done things, what you could have done differently, so as you move forward potentially you become a little bit better and a little bit more efficient in certain areas. But it would be different for me if one team had an opportunity to watch players in the playoffs, or one team had an opportunity to meet players face-to-face. No team has that opportunity. So everybody is dealing with the same exact situation. We'll find out who can deal with it with the best. Mm-hmm. It'll probably take 3 or 4 years to see how the draft unfolds, but that to me is what you got to do. So while I understand why it's a different challenge, that's just the way it is for everybody.
It'll be a fascinating draft, to say the least. Great job on our coverage of the latest draft rankings with Bob and your input there. And it's great hearing your voice. It's great hearing that you and your family are healthy, and hopefully we can all see each other in person sooner rather than later.
Well, we will, Mark, and that day, I hope that the day is sooner rather than later, but all we got to continue to do is listen to the experts, do our part to make sure that we're responsible so that we do not create an environment where it takes longer for things to come back to some semblance of normalcy and things that we enjoy. And that includes ultimately going back into arenas and watching games and cheering amongst fans. But that's where we find ourselves, and that's where our focus has to be. But I'm an optimist, and I know we're going to get there, and I'm hopeful that we'll get there sooner rather than later.
It's not the first time I'll say this. Well said, Craig. Awesome stuff. Appreciate you coming on the show, and enjoy the rest of the week and enjoy the draft lottery tomorrow.
I will. You have a great day too, Mark and Dave. Great chatting with you.
There you have
Thanks,
it.
Craig.
Craig Button joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com.